Today at Kuala Lumpur, January 19th, we're opening the doors of Cyberspace Ashram to you. We're on retreat, we're reflecting, we're thinking, we're planning for the future, because the thoughts we have today make the future tomorrow. And this brings us to an interview that we took part in for International Magazine Hinduism Today with Colonel David Grossman. Colonel Grossman is a retired U.S. Army officer who specializes in the training of soldiers, especially how to train them to kill another human being. Listen to this very, very carefully, because it is related to your life, your neighbor's life, and the lives of young people and old alike who are involved in dangerous, destructive video games. And he's going to explain to us why those games teach our children to be killers. Let's hear what Colonel Grossman has to say.
I do speaking to high schools and junior high schools. Mm-hmm. Upon occasion, on a fairly steady basis, we get standing ovations from high schools and junior high schools. The teachers will say, you know, that's the first standing ovation we've ever seen them give. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I outline to the kids the tremendous manipulative process that is in play here. Mm-hmm. The toxic substance, I give them some stories from the Jonesboro shootings that make it come alive, the horror. And I talk to them about the case studies. It's in my article, the Wesley Schaefer case in South Carolina. Uh-huh. And the way this becomes conditioned. And they become quite receptive. I talk to them and tell them, look, you know, you don't want your friend down the street to have his own assault rifle. You'd call the police if you knew that he was running around with his own gun, and rightfully so. In the same way that we don't give you the physical instruments of destruction, we have most definitely need to be careful about indiscriminately giving to children the mental instruments of destruction. If I give you a gun, I can take that gun back away and lock it up. But if I give you this tremendous capacity to reflexively use that gun as a form of operant conditioning, I cannot lock that up. I cannot take that away. And at some moment down the line, it has the potential to come back out again, and it represents a threat to everybody associated with that individual. They truly are functioning at a far more dangerous level. The military and the law enforcement communities around the world use these mechanisms to enable violence with great care and caution. There are safeguards involved. That's what I testified about in the McVeigh case. Mm-hmm. But what's happening is the mental equivalent of putting an assault rifle in the hands of every child in America. And most of the kids understand how terribly destructive violence is. They understand that it's not right for them to play with guns. And they achieve a level, or a significant portion of them, achieve a level of understanding that it's not right to play about killing other human beings. Now, this is totally different than playing Bang Bang, I Gotcha. When you play, you know, with guns, which a lot of people, a lot of parents don't believe in, but understand that is far less dangerous. If I, you know, am playing, you know, guns with Billy, and I go bang bang at Billy and say, I got you, and he says, no, you didn't, and I hit him over the head with my little toy gun, and he runs to his mom and cries, and I get a swatting, and in the end, what have I done? Well, I've learned about interacting with other human beings. I've learned that they're real. I have done the same kind of play, if you will, that every species does. Mm-hmm. Tiger cubs, kittens, puppies, you know, bear cubs maul and play and roll at one another. And this is normal behavior. Mm-hmm. But if, on the other hand, I sit in a video game, and instead of interacting with another human being, I shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot endless thousands of rounds, with no discipline, no interaction with another human being, no repercussions, no ramifications, just a simple set of conditioned responses being built into me, something profoundly different is happening here. Mm-hmm. Explain that to kids. When you talk about the Wesley Schaefers and the Michael Carneals out there, it really opens their eyes, and they become very receptive. Mm-hmm. You've got to begin with an understanding of how destructive just television violence is. Mm-hmm. You cannot look at video games without laying a foundation of understanding of how destructive simple violent imagery is. That's just the violent imagery that the children are so receptive to. the spoken word and the written word for all practical purposes, they won't do the job. You can't operantly or classically condition somebody with a book or a magazine or a radio unless you hit them with it. Uh-huh. But these visual images have got enormous power. Mm-hmm. And now what's happened is, and you understand that the National Institute of Mental Health in the 1980s looked at 2,500 scientific studies about these visual imagery on children and came to the conclusion that, quote, there is a clear consensus. In 1992, the American Psychiatric Association said, quote, the scientific debate is over. Mm-hmm. We know that these visual images are tremendously harmful, but now we've entered a realm where instead of being the passive receivers of human death and suffering, you are now pushing the button that inflicts human death and suffering on another human being. And when you take that even a notch further, where you actually hold a weapon in your hand and point and shoot and learn the motor skills of killing another human being, making it an automatic reflexive response like children in a fire drill or pilots in a flight simulator, now we have entered into a realm that is absolutely despicable. Around the nation, I am testifying next week in the Washington State legislature. I will be testifying later this week to the Louisiana Attorney General's Task Force. I'm a member of the Arkansas Governor's Task Force on Juvenile Justice. And one of the things that we're looking at around the nation is to say the point-and-shoot video games,
right,
ones,
yeah,
where you hold a gun in your hand, are for adults only. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't let children have their own guns. We don't let children have ammunition. We don't let them have tobacco or pornography or alcohol. And we certainly don't need to let them have military and law enforcement quality psychological enabling with the safety catches turned off. These things are so effective, so economical, that the military and the law enforcement community have begun to use these kind of video game trainers. And the most pervasive one that the United States Army uses is made by Nintendo. And it's really indistinguishable from any of the games that any of the kids would buy and play.
Well, now you've heard from an expert about violent video games. He told you that these games train your children to kill exactly the same way the Army trains soldiers to kill, even better, perhaps. Again, he also talked about the indisputable connection between violent television and real violence in our lives. His advice to parents: if we don't actively present our religious values, then the media and the video game makers will most assuredly inflict theirs on the children. Make a call for decency and love and peace as an alternative to death and destruction. Not just for the sake of our religious community, but for the transformation of our culture. You've listened to a seasoned, respected man in our community, defender of our country, and we have to take into our hearts and minds everything he has to say. And you can be a missionary to save children's lives, put them on the path of ahimsa rather than himsa. Nonviolence rather than violence. That's our message for today at Cyberspace Ashram, everyone. Play this back several times. You can make a difference, and the good karma will come to you in your future for what you do today, and what you think creates wonderful tomorrows or terrible tomorrows. You're the boss here. It's your life.